Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Adrift by Lee Lennon, narrated by Stephanie Rose and Chris Chambers. Social anxiety. A persistent and exaggerated fear in social situations in which embarrassment or an adverse judgment by others may occur, causing significant distress. It often results in an avoidance of social situations. As a result, it induces the stress of going to work, concentrating at school, or attending to everyday things. People with social anxiety may worry about these and other things for weeks before they happen. Sometimes, they end up staying away from places or events. It's often called social phobia, because of the irrational fear that interrupts a person's life. A note from the author. Dear listener, it's my hope to bring awareness to social anxiety. I know personally how debilitating and life-altering it truly is. Emily is written from a place of love, understanding, and hope. She truly is on a journey, one many can resonate with.
Prologue, Davenport. When the flatline alarm alerted us of the life we lost, they turned off the machine. But the operating room is still full of life, just not the life we treasured. The last of the doctors and nursing staff give us the needed privacy we've not yet had. The last nurse in the room stops near me. "Take all the time you need, Dr. Gallum, and let us know if you want anything at all." I've been on the other end of this many times. Being a doctor gives you a different look at mortalities others may not have. But it's never been a loved one. It's never been my wife. I stand just far enough away from my husband, because if I don't see our beautiful Jade, then in my mind she's still with us. Jade, Ollie, and I have always had the most wonderfully beautiful dynamic others never understood. But they didn't need to. We loved each other, and the three of us made the others complete. Will we ever be whole without Jade in our lives? Oliver hasn't left Jade's side. His hand is still interlaced with hers, his head placed gently against her cheek. Since they've pronounced Jade dead, he won't move. For Oliver Gallum, because I know his mind better than I know my own, if he doesn't leave, like me, he doesn't have to acknowledge she's gone. "Ollie, honey," I murmur as if it's a question. And in all honesty, what could I ask? Are you okay? Can I do anything for you? The questions are so trivial, and the answers should be clear. We aren't okay. We'll never be okay again. "Where is he?" Oliver doesn't move his cheek from Jade. "Is he okay?" He's not asked about our son. Not once until now. The birth was uncomplicated, and the nursing staff was ready to bring him over to the three of us, when Jade started hemorrhaging. It had happened so quickly, they hadn't had a chance to escort us out of the room. In less than 5 minutes, our wife went from smiles at the birth of our first baby to being confirmed dead. We watched her breathe her last breath. It's an image we'll never forget. He's good. They moved him to the nursery. I don't have much more information, other than he was 9 pounds and 10 ounces. This is my hospital, and I trust the nursery staff with my last breath. Our son is in the most capable hands, which is better than us right now. We're a mess. Fuck. Mess doesn't begin to describe the devastated zombies we've become with the news of our wife's passing. I've been back and forth a few times since learning that Ollie and I will be raising our baby without his mother. He has a set of lungs on him. And he has your nose. Oliver's pointy nose is a Fisher trait. And the second I realized it was passed on to my son, even in the sheer grief of a loss so great, I'll admit I've mustered just enough wit about me, bringing a smile to my life for now. We've known from the beginning that Ollie would be the bio daddy. We'd been careful, and only he would finish inside of Jade. It hadn't mattered because both Ollie and Jade had been everything to me. Our baby boy would know the love of both his fathers. And now that he only has the two of us in his world, our love would have to include that of his mother's, too. Jade wanted a baby more than any other mother ever had. Another reason the pain is so great. She'll never know the wonder that is our boy. The hospital staff had told us to take our time, but I know I'll have to pry my husband from Jade. It won't be pretty, nor will it be easy. I decide to use a different technique. Trevor was almost 10 pounds. He's healthy. No! Ollie shouts again, not taking his touch off of Jade. Ollie, baby, we have a son. That doesn't change. No, Port. His name is not Trevor. Not anymore. It was the name we'd picked out, all three of us. And it wasn't an easy task, either. Jaden. I want to name him Jaden. We can keep Trevor for a middle name since we'd never chosen one. But I want him named after his mother. Okay, baby. It's the easiest compromise. The tears start to well in the corner of my eyes. The realization Jade is gone hits me harder, with the sentiment of naming our son after his dead mother. But I can't and won't argue with my husband. Jaden Trevor Gallum it is. I take the few steps from my husband and the body of the woman we both loved most in this world. I can't remember her this way. This isn't her. Not anymore. And all the memories we've built together are what I want tucked away as we grieve her. Ollie, baby. Let's go meet our son. Let's go meet Jaden. His head stays trained on Jade's face. No, Port. I won't leave her. Baby, she'd want us to put Jaden first. He knows everything I'm saying is true, but for him, telling his heart this is an entirely different matter. I squeeze his shoulder with one hand and pull for his chin with the other. So, what do you say? We go meet our son? It's killing me to be the one upbeat. He takes another minute with Jade. I didn't think he'd come. But when he turns his body toward me and takes my hand, he's ready. I'm the last person out of the room, and I take one last look at our wife. Don't worry, honey. Jaden will always know the love of his mama. And we're gone, leaving our wife in our past. Our son, part of our future. It hadn't been what we'd envisioned when we left for the hospital this morning, but it's our life now. And for Jaden, he'll never lack love. Chapter 1. Oliver. 1 year later. Happy birthday to Jaden. Happy birthday to you. We sing, then blow out the candles for our son because... what one-year-old can do that? I guess with all his slobber, he can extinguish the candle on his own, but then I'm not sure I'd want a piece. Today is all about Jaden. It's a hard day because his birth, which we have celebrated every day of his young life, is also the anniversary of our wife's death. Tomorrow we'll grieve for Jade. But the busier we were, the less grief we've carried in the past year. Let's be honest for a second. Between a fussy one-year-old and the soft launch of our new resort, we've barely had enough time for sleep, let alone anything else. After her death, everything in Chicago reminded us of Jade. My hours as a computer programmer and Port's as a doctor hadn't been ideal, not for Jaden and not for us. We'd already signed the contract for the resort with our silent investors, selecting a building and using Jade's design for the interior. Our investor's wife, with her degree in architecture, renovated the exterior. It was Jade's dream, and we continued with it. Leaving the city life behind, I knew there was one thing I've always wanted in this world. My parents have run a B&B for as long as I can remember. With our lifestyle, we'd often joke that resorts were never inclusive for relationships like ours. We'd get stares and slurs if the three of us showed any kind of affection in our committed triad. In our little piece of heaven, I didn't think we'd be booked solid for the first 6 months. Who knew there were so many polyamorous relationships who wanted what other couples had? A community of sorts. With the vision Jade had placed in our minds, we ran with it. Davenport and I don't lack money and could invest easily. And with the other triad appreciating our idea, the financial end of the deal was the easiest. Ollie, baby, where have you been? Physically, I'm with them. But emotionally, my thoughts run to Jade. I dodge Davenport's question, swerving my overly active brain to our son, and I've missed Jaden plowing into his cake. There's chocolate frosting not just on his mouth, but his entire face, most likely up his nose and in his ears. "Ah, Jaden, you like that?" I ask in our tiny two-bedroom apartment tucked in the back of the resort. We've claimed this little place as our own, attempting to make it a home. It has fallen short without Jade in our lives. Oliver, what are you thinking of? It's the three of us. It's how we chose to celebrate Jaden's first birthday. All three sets of grandparents, including Jade's parents, wanted to be a part of it. But we had to decline. We had needed to do this by ourselves. Nothing, really. It's just funny. This had been Jade's vision. We don't have the imagination she had. Never knew we'd be so booked. Our soft launch is this week, with close friends and some other polyamorous relationships as guests, to help work out some of the kinks. I think she'd be really proud of us, and how we've found a way to follow her dream, which now has become ours, along with putting Jaden first. I tug him close to my body, my attention on our son. You are a mess, mister. At my words, he peers at me. His eyes, the brightness is just like mine, but their shape is similar to his mama's. I think you're right, Port. Jade would be proud of us. After we said goodbye to her just a year ago today, being dads is how we'll always honor our late wife. I didn't know how our son would fill the void she left the day she died. No one could ever replace her. But having Jaden made the grief easier to take. And that in and of itself is the reason I can smile at my son's frosting-clad face, thanking the heavens above for both my husband and our boy. It's been a couple of weeks since both Jaden's birthday and the anniversary of Jade's death. We've thrown ourselves into work. It's another way to honor Jade. I'm nervous. I don't know why. We're hosting less than a dozen guests for this phase of the soft launch. Ollie, baby. Davenport appears in the reception area with Jaden in his arms. He's been teething at night, barely sleeping. Our son's eyes are heavy, and I have the pack-and-play set up in the small office behind the reception area. Hey, babe. I drop a kiss on his forehead, then on Jaden's chubby cheeks. He's the vision of his mama, with her olive complexion, her high cheekbones, and the shape of her eyes. The only two differences between Jaden and his mama are the shade of his eyes, a silvery blue, and the color of his hair. Instead of her black locks, he has my almost whitish blonde hair. Jaden opens his eyes just enough to let out a little chuckle, reaching out for me. "Want Daddy, Jay?" Davenport asks, and before I can answer, he gives me the one-year-old. "You okay, Port?" I take a look at his shirt, full of drool, spit up, and Lord knows what else, and he's practically asleep on his feet. "Yeah, I'm all right. But we need to have a serious talk about a nanny, Ollie. This resort needs the two of us, and..." I cut him off. "I can't have this conversation. Not again. We have more than enough staff. Only one of us is needed at a time, the other taking care of our son." With the way the resort is designed, no one can hear Jaden, even if he's screaming. "Davenport Gallum?" I sit down, attempting to rock Jaden in the very uncomfortable chair we have for the front desk. "I'm not having this conversation with you." "This conversation isn't over. Not in the least." He interrupts me. I search the reservations for phase one of our soft launch, knowing one set is our good friends from Chicago. They are on their honeymoon, after reaffirming their vows, with this threesome becoming a committed triad. "But since we have three sets of parties checking in today, it can wait for another time." He interjects. "It looks like Clara, Bodie, and Jack are the first to arrive," Port says, looking over my shoulder, talking to Jaden. "Man, it will be good to see them again." We haven't seen the trio, not since Jade's funeral, just a little over a year ago. It's hard to believe I'm a father to this wonderful boy, but we've done it all without Jade being a part of us. "Do you know the other ones?" I ask. We've tried to have some sort of referral system at first for guests to understand what they're getting with our resort. But we found it a little more complicated than we'd thought. To our surprise, triads, thruples, and other alternative lifestyles are booking on our site. They've not found a retreat like this in the past. We call each guest upon the confirmation. Not one guest has booked here accidentally, but I'm sure it will happen. "The second party is another triad. The other party is two pairs of swingers, all four in a polyamorous relationship. Both are clients of Arden Blakely." The name isn't foreign to us. After all, Arden Blakely, along with his business partners and the loves of his life, Elliot and Damon, are our silent investors in our resort. They would not take no for an answer since they understood how necessary a community is in this lifestyle. All the plans were in the works before Jade's death. But we couldn't say no to Jade's dream when she was alive. And we never could give up on it after she died. "Oh, good." I return a little bit tense, because fuck, Port is mad at me, and I'm not exactly happy with him, too, in what he wants for Jaden. "Now the staff. Are they aware of what they're responsible for?" Port is in charge of the staff with training, job descriptions, and such. We've hired an entire team, but only 10 will be working during this first soft launch. Who the hell knows if we'll need more? But we haven't accepted reservations before June, just in case. We have 4 months to fix any hiccups. "My part is good to go." His return is clipped. With Jaden's head on my shoulder, I assume he's asleep. "Let me take him back to the apartment so I can get him in bed. Wish me luck." His tone isn't his typical Davenport Gallum easygoing reply. He's mad. And as we've done since losing Jade, we don't fight. We sweep it under the rug. The only problem is, one day the carpet will show the filth, as will our marriage. Our concierge stands with the doors open in the reception area. Jade had so much faith she'd talk us into her visions. She had designed many parts of areas that are common in resorts and hotels. We took most of them, and our new designer we'd hired once we bought the old hotel in Key West had kept Jade's dreams. It's white, bright, and airy, so very similar to our home in the city. Jade could design any room in any way her clients had wanted, but her personal taste was both simple and elegant at the same time. With light bamboo flooring, a plethora of plants, white sofas, and all the accents in gold along with crystal chandeliers, and with the rattan decor breaking up the clean look of all the white Jade insisted was a must, our guest's first impression will be that of simple elegance. Our hope is to give each guest their own personal welcome experience. In the hospitality market, we're bound to find things that don't work at first. Considering our resort is one of the first of its kind, catering to a certain lifestyle. Davenport has been in our apartment with Jaden since he'd left me an hour ago. Not only does our son need sleep, so does my husband. He'd wanted to be with me when we welcomed our first guests, but I'd not poke the bear. And with us being on opposing ends of what we feel is best for Jaden, he's grouchy, to say the least. "Hello? Are you the Calypso Chambers party?" Sloane, our lead concierge, greets the familiar faces of Bodie, Clara, and Jack.
"We sure are!"
This, I know, is Bodie, in his boisterous tone, where Jack has always been more subdued. Rounding the desk of the reception area, Clara is the first to encompass me in her arms.
"Oliver Gallum, boy, is it good to see you."
Clara, with her signature pink ends of blonde hair framing her face, pulls back, placing a kiss on my cheek.
"Wow, you look good. Really good."
Anything looks better than I had at Jade's funeral only 3 days after Jaden's birth. "Thanks, Clara. And congrats. I'm sorry we couldn't get up there for the ceremony." She waves us off, with both of her men surrounding her, shaking my hand and pulling me in for those bro kinds of hugs. Clara and Bodie's son had been a patient of Davenport's when Declan needed a specialist concerning his diabetes. At the time, this couple was divorced, and Clara was dating Jack. Davenport had taken a particular interest in them, understanding they lived a similar lifestyle as we had. When Clara had asked who designed his offices, Port, of course, as the proud husband, talked about our wife. Not only had Jade helped with the triad's new apartment, but Clara and Jade became close friends, thus combining us six adults in a lifelong friendship.
"I can't wait to get my hands on that baby of yours."
Clara is practically salivating at the idea when Sloane approaches us. Sloane will most likely want to get down to business.
"Hey," I begin, "why don't I let you guys get settled, and we can meet later tonight, if that's okay with you? I don't want to encroach on your honeymoon, after all."
"No, no, not at all. It's not like I don't get my way with these two enough as it is."
This is Bodie, and both Clara and Jack slug him on opposite arms.
"Ow! That shit hurts, guys. You're supposed to love me, not hurt me. Unless..."
"Bodie Chambers, don't you dare finish that sentence."
Our light laughter deepens the glare on her face at the humor of her one husband.
"How about drinks in 3 hours?
Jack asks, a little more level-headed,
Jaden most definitely will be up from his nap by then. Okay, great. We'll meet you in the outside bar, near the pool. We've named it Jade's. Clara brushes tears from her eyes. All three give us a quick nod, and hand in hand they follow Sloane to their room. Fuck. I miss being a part of something like they have. But no one could ever take Jade's place. And for that very reason, I'm positive it will only be Davenport and myself, as are forever. After all, Davenport has always been the love of my life. Chapter 2 Davenport. The other guests aren't due to arrive until later in the evening. We take this time, with Jaden in my arms, to meet up with the happy honeymooners. I'm not through the door, as Clara stands from her seat so quick and holds out her hands to Jaden. In a complete surprise to both my husband and me, our son goes to Clara without coaxing.
"Ah, you are such a sweet boy."
She's silent a beat longer than I would have ever expected with Clara, a tear falling down her cheek. And both her men are out of their seats to greet me. Jack is the first to notice his wife. "Foxy, you okay?" Her attentive eyes are on Jaden.
Yeah, I'm fine.
I don't say it, and neither does Oliver, but it's uncanny how much Jaden takes after his mother.
"He's so beautiful. I just can't get over it."
It's my turn to acknowledge the obvious. He's so beautiful because he looks just like his mommy. This only causes more tears to fall down Clara's cheeks, and she tries to cover them up, wiping at each one before we can see them. But there's no concealing the hurt and grief she's experiencing.
"Oh, crap. I'm so sorry."
She apologizes profusely, as though she's offending us.
"Nah, it's nothing to be sorry for. It's both a blessing and a hardship, realizing we're doing this without Jade next to us,"
Oliver explains, standing close to me. But we realize the mood has changed, and we're all a bit sullen.
"Ah, shit. I know how to spoil a reunion."
Oliver points to the bar, grabbing the attention of the bartender.
"Preston, do you mind getting our order?"
he asks. Preston, who we stole from another resort in the area, is well known for his energy, along with his looks and the way he makes his drinks.
"Sure thing, Mr. Gallum."
In minutes, the mood is light. It's not long before the air has changed, and we're in easy conversation with one another. Having decided on Preston's specialty drink, which is his spin on a piña colada, the environment is easy and fun. We chat about everything from Bodhi and Clara's son, who was also one of my favorite patients, to the laid-back life in the Keys. Jaden falls asleep in Clara's arms, and she's at ease with him. A loud ring from one of the guy's cell phones has Jack swearing under his breath.
Shit. She wouldn't be calling unless it's an emergency.
I'm not sure who they're talking about or how they all know who it is.
"I'm sorry, guys. Let me answer the call. I'll be back in a jiffy."
He drops a kiss on both Bodhi's and Clara's foreheads and excuses himself, as I hear him say,
"Hey, Emily, I assume this is an emergency."
Bodhi leans in as if he's sharing a secret.
"It's his paralegal. He has her programmed under a different ring, and she must call him more than Clara or I do combined."
Jack whips back onto the patio by the pool.
"Hey, guys."
This time he's talking to Oliver or myself.
"Is there any way I could get a room here for tomorrow night for my paralegal? There's been an emergency with one of my clients. I need to look over documents, and we can't afford for the information to be leaked or hacked if she emails me."
Jack represents some of the most influential clients in the world. I promise it'll take me an hour at the most, and I'll be back in your arms. He assures his lovers and...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?